This is the problem. Take a pair of skates.
Warning. Today's episode, called Swearing and Pain, may contain traces of swearing.
Scales of
swear words, or bad language, make up about 0.6% of our speech. So given that we speak an average of about 16,000 words each day, that means that about 95 of our daily words are profanities. In general, swear words are offensive. But there's one situation where they're actually very helpful. The word profane comes from the Latin roots of pro, meaning before, and fanum, meaning temple. So a profanity was something that you said before or outside the temple. It was definitely not to be spoken inside the temple. In every single language or dialect ever studied, regardless of whether that language or dialect was living or dead, and regardless of whether it was spoken by billions or just a small tribe, profanities exist. Interestingly, some cultures draw their swear words from religion. For example, when 4 centuries ago, Shakespeare wrote zounds, Z-O-U-N-D-S, or sblood, S-B-L-O-O-D, he was using very offensive, for the day back then, contractions of the phrases God's wounds for zounds and God's blood for sblood. Other societies protect the concept of honour and purity of women, so many of their swear words relate either to female genitalia or to the theme of son of a whore. Just as an aside, in our English language, the majority of the swear words we use come to us from German language roots, not Latin. Sometimes swear words lose their power over time. Nobody today would be bothered by the word golly, but originally it was a very obscene and profane compaction of the phrase God's body. Sometimes it goes the other way, and neutral words can become a little unpleasant or uncomfortable to use. Originally, the word coffin simply meant a box. But once the word coffin became linked to the concept of death, people stopped saying, and I quote, "let's think outside the coffin," unquote, or quote, "let's see if there's anything to eat in the bread coffin," unquote, which I think is a gosh darn shame. But swear words do have power. Merely hearing profanities will change the electrical conductance of your skin. Your pulse will quicken, the hairs on your arms will rise, and your breathing will become shallow. Back in 2009, Dr. Richard Stevens and colleagues from Keele University in the United Kingdom looked at the link between swearing and pain. They got 67 unfortunate undergraduate students to undergo a standard pain test called the cold pressor test. And in the cold pressor test, the students were instructed to submerge their unclenched and non-dominant hand into cold water for as long as they could stand. How cold? Bloody cold. 5 degrees centigrade. And while their hand was in the water, they were to say over and over either a swear word or a neutral or control word. Now, the students were each asked for, and I quote, 5 words you might use after hitting yourself on the thumb with a hammer, unquote. And the very first swear word on their list was chosen. But the experimenters needed to control for the possibility that saying any word at all could change how long the subjects would be able to keep their hand in freezing water. So they also asked the students for 5 words to describe a table. For example, bench, counter, desk, work table, horizontal surface, and so on, and they chose one of these words. Their study showed that, while repeating over and over a word meaning table, men could withstand the cold water for a bit over 2 minutes, while women could go a bit over 1 minute. But if instead they were to repeat their chosen profanity, each gender could keep their hand in the 5-degree water for an average of an extra 40 seconds. A similar pattern was found for the heart rate. Their pulse rose a bit when they had their hand in cold water and were saying a neutral word, but it rose even higher when they were saying their preferred profanity. So swearing makes pain go away, at least a bit. But what about people who tend to swear more than average? Does the power of profanity fade the more you use it? After all, you can also use swear words to express surprise and happiness, or anger and disgust. So in 2012, Dr. Stevens did a follow-up to see if overuse of swearing in everyday situations lessens its effectiveness as a short-term intervention to reduce pain. The answer was yes. So if you're prone to cuss and curse, you would get less pain relief by swearing. The lesson seems to be, it's okay to profane, but only when you're in pain.
What does it mean? Why is it so?